I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Bless you.
Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Did anybody else think it was Wednesday today? I felt like it was all day. It was Wednesday. I kept thinking, and then it's like, you know what? It's a Tuesday. I was hoping the work week would be shorter, you know? No. Next week it's shorter, but not this week. Because I keep thinking, well, you know, I only got a couple. No, I don't. I got 3 days. So. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate the Lord and all of his blessings. And
amen.
Good to see each one of you. So, tonight we want to look into 1 Kings chapter 22. And, y'all just pray for me tonight and kind of something I spoke on at Brother Matthew's church and kind of want to share it tonight also. So, a little different tonight, but you know, I believe that we're a blessed people. Because, you know, there's a lot of people look in the world and, you know, people spend years and decades studying the Bible, looking for truth, and they have no idea what the Bible says. There's a lot of sincere people in the world, and they have no idea what the Bible says. We're blessed people that, he said, blessed are your eyes, for you see. And that's God's grace to us that we're able to see. And you know, one of the things that it took for us to see was it took a prophet. And so one of the things I want to look at tonight, you know, we're a blessed people to have a prophet, and it's all the way through the scripture that, and you know, one of the things, you know, prophets don't speak on their own. You know, prophets that, don't speak without, the authority of God, you know, all through the scripture we find out they get in trouble and, you know, so, even you and I, we're to speak what God says and not speak what we think and not what we see. But we're supposed to speak the things that we don't see. Because if we see by the eye of faith, that doesn't necessarily mean that we see it, but we see it by faith. If God said it, well, then that's what we're supposed to say. God said, let my word be true and every man a liar. So we don't look at what we see, what goes on around us, we look in what God says, and that's what we speak. And so, you know, God has blessed us that we can see. And you know, there's, you try to share with people what you see, and it doesn't get past your arms, you know. It's about that far, and sometimes it don't even seem like it gets that far. But before we read the scripture, now let's just all bow our heads and remember each one that's. I know many people are sick, and I hadn't heard anything else about Brother Ray Montgomery, but I certainly want to remember him and all the other ones that have been fighting this COVID thing. And a coworker of mine, he found out he's got two masses that they say are cancer. And so his name is Jack, and y'all just remember him. He's got a long road ahead of him. But, you know, you just got to keep faith.
Right.
We don't look at what the doctors can tell us, and they can do their own thing, but, you know, God takes over after that, you know. So we put our trust in doctors up to a certain point, and after that, we look for the great physician to take over. So let's just all bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be in your house tonight on a Tuesday night, Lord. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can come and gather around your word. Lord, where you said where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. Father, even if we didn't feel you tonight, Lord, we didn't feel your presence tonight, we know that you'd be here because you honor your word. And Lord, I just pray that you come tonight, Lord, and just help us get out of the way. You come speak to each one, Lord. Father, for each one that's listening in tonight, Lord, the ones that listen maybe later, Lord, I just pray that you bless them. And Lord, just touch each one that has a need, Lord, the sick and the afflicted, Lord. We've mentioned the different ones, Lord, that have been on our hearts. Lord, we continue to look on Facebook and different places, text messages that we give for people that are needing a touch from you, Lord, and we just continue to hold them up before you, Lord. Father, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, we're just still Lord, every day, Lord, we're going to continue to plead the blood. We're going to continue to speak faith over them.
Amen.
Lord, no matter how bad the circumstance gets,
yes, Lord.
No matter how dark it gets,
right.
Lord, that doesn't mean anything to you, Lord.
Right.
Lord, we just believe that the Holy Ghost will go and touch each one tonight, Lord, and just, Lord, just move us out of the way, Lord, that you can have the preeminence tonight in the service, Lord, and Lord, for your bride around the world, Lord, the laboring brothers, Lord, I pray that you be with them, Lord, as Brother Fabian and them to be traveling, Lord, I just pray that you be with them, Lord, and watch over, keep them, and bless them, Lord, and we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 Kings Chapter 22, verse 1, and it says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And that's where I got my title from. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And you know, we know that and, you know, Israel did not have a king, and they decided, you know, they wanted to be like everybody else, and they desired to be like everybody else, and just wanted a king. And, you know, Samuel told them, said, listen, said, God doesn't want y'all to be king. He wants to be your king. He wants to be your ruler. And they were like, no, we want to be like everybody else. We want to have a king. We want to look like everybody else. We don't want to stand out and be different. We want to, and you know, Samuel come and told him, said, listen, this is what's going to happen to you. The king's going to take your sons and your daughters. He's going to take the best that you have, because he's going to take that for himself, because that's what kings do. And you know, and then Samuel said, have I ever done anything to you that's been contrary to the law, has been contrary to God, contrary to the word? It's like, no, you've done everything. You know, you've never taken from us. You've never done anything wrong. But he said, but no, we want to be just like everybody else. We want to have a king. Well, you know, then, you know, Samuel, you know, he was brokenhearted in the way that the children of Israel done. But you know, God come and told Samuel, he said, listen, he said, I want you to know they didn't reject you. He said, they rejected me. And when they done that, you know, they chose a great man named Saul, who was a great man, you know, great head and shoulders above everybody else, great, great looking man. But you know what? He was a failure. Because in all that he done, he didn't follow the word. And you know, and we see David, we had David who was over the kingdom, you know, because after Saul, broke the law and didn't follow the word of the Lord, you know, he put David in, and then he had Solomon. But you know, they had good men, but after a while, you know, they started having terrible kings, which was what Samuel tried to tell them in the beginning, what was going to take place. You're going to have these terrible kings. These are what's going to happen, because you know, these men are not, because at a certain point, these men are going to raise up and they're going to be drawn to themselves. And they're going to be drawn by political power. They're going to be drawn by money and other influences that have nothing to do with God. And you know, and then we see Ahab was, the scripture tells us, was one of the wickedest kings that Israel ever had, if not the wickedest king that they ever had. And you know, here we are seeing Ahab. And Ahab, you know, he destroyed the altars of God. He tore down everything and built up idols to Baal and everything. And then, you know, because of political power, because of political structure and what he could see just in his human self, then he marries Jezebel. And then, and you know, and it absolutely just destroys the morals of Israel. And you know, here they are, and you know, and it was nothing but just chaos and problems from the beginning. But you know, that's what the forefathers wanted, and then the children had to live with that. And it was just something that they had been taught, and they just lived in this ungodly world, and that's all they'd ever been seen. That's all they'd ever known, is this ungodly filth. But you know, as Ahab began to see these great things, and you know, all he had was the lust of his eyes. You know, he just wanted more things, and he just wanted everything that, because he felt like everything ought to be his. But you know, there was he stood there and he saw his garden one day, and he saw these things, and you know, he saw a man by the name of Naboth, and he saw Naboth's vineyard, and he seen it, and he saw how wonderful it was, and you know, he wanted Naboth's vineyard. But you know, Naboth had an inheritance that come from his fathers. And you know, he said, I'm not going to go away from my inheritance. This belongs to me. He said, I'm not going to give it up. He said, no, I want you to sell this. And he's like, no, I'm not going to sell this. And he said, well, I'll swap you for something that's even greater than what you have. And he's like, no. He said, this is what's been given to me of my fathers. He said, this is my inheritance. This is my land. He said, I'm not giving it up. He said, this is what belongs to me. Well, you know, when Ahab was so distraught because Naboth wouldn't sell, wasn't a sellout, but you know, he wanted to hold on to what he believed. Well, then Ahab was so upset that his wicked wife Jezebel decided that she would have him killed so that Ahab could get what he wanted. Now, in the midst of all this, then, you know, they sent the spies, you know, the children of Belial, I believe. But anyway, you know, they sent them to be a witness to Naboth, to tell lies that he had blasphemed God and blasphemed the king. Yeah. And they took him out and they murdered Naboth. Well, at the same time that as soon as Ahab found out that Naboth had been killed and that he could take that man's land, that he could take away his inheritance, then as soon as he went to take possession of it, the prophet Elijah met him on the road and told him. He said, because you've slain innocent blood, because what you've done. Now, he didn't pick up a rock and he didn't throw anything at him. But you know what? He was an accessory to murder. Being the king and knew what his wife was going to do, you know what? He was sanctioned. He sanctioned that. And he was, and the blood was laid upon Ahab's house and Jezebel and all of the children. When Elijah come and told Ahab, he told Ahab, he said, God has cursed your house and your posterity. He's going to cut you off. He said, there will never be anything left of you. And then he goes on and he talks about, I believe it was Jeroboam, because, you know, Jeroboam had killed to take the throne. And, you know, the other man that had done the same thing. And he said, you'll be the same way. Why? Because you slew innocent blood to take something that didn't belong to you. Because you didn't respect this man's inheritance. He said, so now the curse has been put upon you. And he said, you'll never get away from this curse. And so when Ahab had this curse upon him, everything that he done was cursed. He couldn't get away from that curse. Because everything that he touched was cursed. And so when later on we see when he came to, he saw that Ramoth Gilead, this city, when he saw that the city, and they hadn't fought Syria, but that was one of their big, Israel's biggest, enemies was Syria, and they were all the time in war and everything, and they never could overcome. Why? Because they had sin in the camp, and they could never get rid of the sin. So Syria was there to be a thorn in their flesh, a thorn in their side, just to harass them because they never was right with God. And so, you know, he said, we see that Ramoth Gilead was given to us by the prophet Joshua. Joshua told that was part of our land, that was part of the land that was given to us, that was our inheritance. But you know what? You're not ever going to claim the inheritance of God living in the world. You're not ever going to claim the inheritance of God being wishy-washy. You've got to be sold out to God and live by God's rules and God's law. Then so he said, well, I just want to take this land because I see that it belongs to me. Because they were reading and he saw how good Ramoth Gilead looked. But you know what? He still was laying under a curse. And so when he went out there and then Micaiah, he said, what we need, inquire. Jehoshaphat said, inquire of God to find out if we can take this city or not.
Yeah, sure.
And you know what? He had 400 Hebrew prophets. You know, he just didn't have anybody. He didn't just get anybody off the street. But he had 400 Hebrew prophets stand there and tell him. Because why? Because they knew which side the bread was buttered on. Because they knew exactly what to do to make Ahab and Jezebel happy. And so they could get up there and they could say, oh no, you just go ahead and take it. The Lord's with you. The Lord will bless you. You can take Ramoth Gilead. It's yours. Go ahead because it was prophesied to you. Well, the problem was when, there was something. Jehoshaphat had just enough God about him to realize there was something problem. There was a problem in that. He had just enough spirituality about him that didn't ring right. But he didn't have enough spirituality about him to realize the man that he was hanging out with, that he was fellowshipping with, was cursed. That he had no business being there. But he stood there and said, you and I are just alike. My horses are your horses and my chariots are your chariots. He didn't even need to be in the same town. But you know what? He's like, oh no, this sounds great. This sounds great. Until he hears the word of these 400 prophets. And then it's like, well, this don't sound very good. He said, is there someone else that we can talk to? He said, is there someone else that we can inquire of God with? Is there someone else that might know how to talk to God who get an answer from God? He's like, well, we got this one guy that we don't like. He don't like us. And we don't really associate with him. But he's like, here's this one man. Let's go talk to Micaiah. Well, Micaiah, you know, when it come down to Micaiah speaking of when he said, will you inquire of God to, if we can, take Ramoth Gilead. Well, when Micaiah come up there, he said, you know, now we want you to talk just like the rest of these prophets. We want you to be in step, you know. We want you to be just like everybody else. Just, you know, all you got to do is give up here and give your stamp of approval. Just give them a thumbs up and tell them everything's all right. Well, you know, Micaiah just went up there and told them, y'all go ahead and go up. Go ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all go ahead. Y'all want to so bad. Well, go ahead. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get killed. It's your death. He said, I see Israel scattered like sheep. I see what it's destruction. But y'all go ahead. I know that's what you want. That's what's in your heart to do. And he said, oh, you know, he was so mad that, you know, because this is, you know, you're just always saying bad things. You just can't go along with the program. Well, the thing is Micaiah had the word from God that they shouldn't take that.
Right.
But you know, the one thing about Micaiah was Micaiah just didn't speak of his own word. Micaiah spoke because Elijah had already cursed Micaiah. I'm sorry, he had already cursed Ahab.
Right.
So when Micaiah got the word of God, then he looked back and he looked at what Elijah had said. And Elijah had already cursed Ahab. So when Micaiah walked out there, Micaiah couldn't say anything else. But he could only say what God had already said through the prophet Elijah. And he had already been cursed. And there was nothing he could say. He said, you're cursed. And he said, there's nothing else you can say.
Yep.
He said, no matter, you know, how fundamentally you write, you can be, and everything looks so good, and everything's so laid out, so everything's so perfect, yet you gotta look back at what the Word says, and the Word said that they were cursed. And so, you know, then they were like, well, you know, they come down on Micaiah and told him, listen, he said, you curse us and say all these things, and you know, and then the priest smacked him in the mouth and, said, you know, where'd the Spirit of God go when it left me? You know, they locked him up and told him to feed him water and the bread of affliction and bread of sorrow. And he said, when I come back, I'll deal with him. And he said, you know, if you come back, God didn't speak to me. So we understand that, you know, that how important it is. You know, when we look at the Word, as Micaiah did, Micaiah looked back at what the Scripture had said, what the prophets had said, because if Jehoshaphat had actually been spiritual, he'd actually known what had happened. He'd already seen what had taken place, but Micaiah was standing there, and then he had told him, this is what's going to take place. Well, if Jehoshaphat had been spiritual enough, then you know what? He should have packed his bags and went home.
Right.
He should have seen the destruction. But you know what? He went on anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Can we inquire of a prophet? Is there somebody that we can inquire of what God has to say? And when he does, then you know what? He turns around and walks contrary to what God said. And you know, and then they wonder why people wonder why they end up in trouble just like Jehoshaphat did.
Right,
why? Because you know what? He felt like he could just do whatever he wanted to.
Yep.
And people just want to follow whatever they believe. But it's so important because God has always, from the beginning, he's always had prophets.
Right.
And he's always laid it out and so, you know, the prophets have always spoken by the word and they always dovetailed. And we know that when God wanted to speak to the children of Israel with Moses, and you know, he wanted to speak to them and, have their own burning bush experience. You know, there came a time when the children of Israel, because they seen the power and the majesty and everything, the greatness of God. You know, it scared the children of Israel and they were under fear. And it's like, Lord, like Moses, you speak for God. Said, we don't want to have what you have. We don't want to have an experience like you have. He said, oh, you go and tell him, you go talk to God and you come tell us what God wants us to do. And that's what we'll do. But we don't want to have that experience. And so he said, fine. He said, if that's the way you want it, he said, that's the way it'll always be. He said, so we'll always have prophets that come and speak. Yep,
right.
And so we know that when Moses was speaking in Deuteronomy, and 18, Deuteronomy 18, verse 17 says, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. He said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command thee. They get that up there? And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. And this is from what Brother Brown's speaking on this in Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecies. He says, now notice he began to speak with Moses, the prophet, a prophet, Deuteronomy 18:15. He said, I'm watching scripture here. He said, see, he said, drop down and see, God spoke to him on top of the mountain. Oh my, the thundering. They said, let Moses speak, not God speak, lest we perish. He said, well, I won't speak to them no more like this, but I'll raise them up a prophet. That's been his message all the way through. That's what's got to settle the whole thing at the end. It's just got to, because the word of the Lord has to come to the prophet. It's the only thing it can come to. If it don't, it breaks God's word and makes him tell something wrong. See, it'll never go to a seminary. It goes to a prophet, and the prophet is sent from God. So we know that he sent the word by the prophet. And we know that in the beginning, we know that when it became, and it was spoken by the prophet, you know, when God had a secret that he wanted to reveal, when he had attributes that he wanted to express, you know, he had to make that known. And so as he began to express those attributes, you know, he began to make it known. Brother Bram said, he said that great secret mystery that he had before the foundation of the world. And he wanted to begin to express himself. And so as he began to express himself, he began to express it through the prophets. And each prophet began to express what God was showing him. And each one of them began to express the portion of Christ that was to be manifested in that time. And we know as he began to express these things, you know, it was hid from the world, and people didn't understand what was going on. But you know, when they went to look back, and then other times they sent prophets, and the prophets pointed the people back to what the previous prophet had said, because then it became clear to what had been said. Because there were times that, you know, they, just like Isaiah, when Isaiah was speaking of a virgin shall conceive. Well, you know, there was a lot of people out there that was a little confused about all that, you know, and there was a lot of people that didn't believe him. You know, it's like, you know, what in the world have you been doing, Isaiah, that you even talk like this? You know, how can these things be? Well, then the other side of that coin is people, you know, everybody that had, they were hoping to have a little girl, and they were expecting this girl to be the one that was going to fulfill the law of the word of Isaiah. And you know, everyone was looking for something that was going to take place. Well then, you know, there, you know, all of a sudden they hear in the days of Isaiah when the word went forth, you know, there were people that were looking for this to be fulfilled. Well then, you know what? After that generation passed, you know, it was like, well, we heard Isaiah say, and then, you know, the other ones, well, it was just another fable. And it, did Isaiah actually say that? You know, did this actually take place, or this just words that somebody said? And you know, it's like, well, you know, we don't know what was going to take place. But you know what? When 800 years later, when everybody had forgot about it, and it was just tall tales and fables, and you know, it was just, well, you know, that's what Granny said. And you know, we heard her say this, and we heard them say that. And you know, that's what's in these old books, and these old scrolls say this. But you know, there was a lot of people, you know, they had just glossed over that, and it didn't mean anything to them. But you know, there come a time when people began to look into the scripture, and you know, it wasn't just words on a page, but it was something that was real to them. Because you know, they actually believed that God was going, no matter how many years it had passed that God had said that, they still believed that it was going to come to pass. They still believed that that was going to be in one of these days, that no matter, we don't understand how it's going to take place. We don't understand it, but we know that there's going to be one that's going to fulfill this. And you know, and so you know, how is this going to take place? Well, we don't know, but we know that Isaiah said it. But you know, it's not just one thing that Isaiah said, but it was each prophet that began to speak. As Brother Brown's speaking, you know, there was a secret that was there that he was expressing. But you know, as it began to be expressed, then it became a mystery to people. And you know, that was the expression, because you know, Amos 3:7 says that the Lord God would do nothing except he reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. But then Revelation 10:7 tells us, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery shall be fulfilled. So it had to be, at first it was a secret, that the secret was being made known, but people didn't understand that. But as the secret was being made known, then it became a mystery to the people. But then that's what caught the people's attention, was the mystery. Just like when Moses was standing there, and he was out there, and after all the struggles and the heartaches and the failures that he had went through, then he was standing out there watching a bunch of sheep out in the middle of nowhere, looking at all this desert, and just wondering what was going to become of his life, when one of these days, he saw a burning bush. He saw a bush that was on fire, but the bush wasn't consumed. But at that time, see, then it became a mystery to him. Why? Because it was God revealing himself, unveiling himself, and that was what the mystery caught his attention. And then he turned and said, well, I'm going to inquire why this bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. So, you know, as Brother Branham said, you know, Moses could have went up there and took a scientific approach to it. And, you know, he wanted to take some of the bush, and he wanted to do testing and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it was something that caught his attention that he turned and he wanted to find out more about this. But then when he turned, he had a desire to find out something. God could speak to him. When he turned to inquire, then God could speak to Moses and tell him. He said, you know, because you've always heard your entire life that you're going to be a deliverer. Well, now you've gotten to the place where you can be a deliverer. Because all your faults and failures and trying to do it in yourself and all these things, that was not my plan. My plan is for you to follow me. And now is the time that you can do that. And so, you know, all those things that had taken place all through the scripture, we see those things where God began to unveil himself and he made him, making himself known. Well, there was something that was real to the prophets, but that didn't mean it was real to everybody else. You know, Noah spent 120 years in his generation building an ark, telling people it was going to do something they'd never seen before. But he stood up there and said, listen, water's going to fall from the sky. Well, you know, all the scientific evidence in the world proved that there was no such thing in the world. But you know what? He stood up constantly and consistently building an ark. And he kept preaching that it was going to rain. And all the ridicule that the man faced and all the problems that he faced. And yet he kept preaching to these people and trying to show them the grace of God that it was going to rain. That judgment was coming and there's a way out. But you know what? They didn't see that. They thought, well, here's another kook, you know, we just got to deal with this person. And you know, they just want to come by and ridicule him and, you know, cause trouble and everything like that. But you know, he still preached the word of God. He was still the grace of God. He was still mercy to the people of that day that was standing in leather, his shoe leather, standing there speaking to the people that it's time to get ready. There's a way out, but there's destruction coming.
Yep.
But they didn't accept that. And every one of the prophets, as you look through their life, you see God was expressing himself in a special way. And you know, we see even down, we see that Joseph was spoken, you know, as the perfect type of Christ and the whole life of Joseph, you know, because, you know, being the one that was spiritual. You know, he was hated of his brethren, but you know, God had his hand on Joseph and all the things that he had faced in his life, but you know, he was loved of his father. And you know, here he was loved of his father so much that he was given a coat of many colors. You know, and Brother Ram said this coat, you know, it represents a covenant. And you know, here is this one, you know, everybody thought, well, here's the seer. And his brothers hated him so much that they contemplated killing him. And so, you know, here he is as a perfect type of Christ here. You know, here he was, and they was like, well, you know, they didn't want to kill him. But, you know, they made it look like he was killed. And so, you know, they threw him into the pit. And they took that, you know, they took his coat and they dipped it in blood. And you know how all of those things type the life of Christ in a perfect story. How we see each one of those, because you know, here was Christ, and he came and he was spiritual and he spoke to his brethren and he wanted to tell them that, listen, he had a prophecy that spoke to the brethren and tell them, listen, there's going to be things are going to take place. He said, I see y'all that y'all are going to bow down to me. And you know, that just made them mad, but they didn't realize, you know, he was trying to tell them the future. He was trying to bring these things. And you know, and they was like, well, you know, we're just going to take him and we're going to take his coat. And you know, they took his coat and they dipped it in blood, and then they threw him in the pit and they sold him for 30 pieces of silver and all that. And you know, and as you see here, this the coat, you know, it was as a type of Christ, you know, being crucified. As you know, you can see that it was that covenant, you know, that was dipped in blood. You know, the flesh had to die. He was sacrificed. The flesh was sacrificed. But then we saw the spirit left and, you know, went to the right hand of the Father, which was the right hand of Pharaoh. And, you know, we've seen all the things that, as he was there, you know, speaking to the butcher and the baker and all those type things all the way through the life, you know, of Christ, you know, being on the cross and all these things. But, you know, all of those things but when it came to the end, it was to preserve life.
Right.
You know, when he began to speak to his brethren, and you know, he was so happy to see them, and yet they were so fearful when he made himself known to them after all that he had went through, because he began to tell them, because it was, he said, y'all meant this for trouble. He said, y'all meant this for evil. He said, but God has done this for good. He said, God has done this to preserve life. And you know, he wanted to show him the love that he was wanting to bestow on them. And they thought it was because, you know, they thought, well, this is terrible. Here we are in this position, you know, because we're trying to survive this famine. And here is our brother that, you know, that we've treated so badly. And yet he wanted to make himself known. And listen, he was so blessed. He said, look what God has done. He said, because there's such a famine, and yet God has called me to save the world, the known world. Here we are in Egypt, the greatest nation in the world, and we're able to serve up, you know, store up food. And he said, now y'all can partake. And he said, there's a place for y'all to come. That y'all can weather out this famine, and you never have to hunger. And so, and all these things that have taken place, you know, it's a perfect type of Christ because, you know, the thing is God makes a way for us because He loves us so much that He's made a way for us. But the thing is do you accept the way of God? He said, because if you don't accept what God has done for you, He always makes a way of mercy and grace. But the question is, will you accept it? And then if you accept it, then you know what? There's a way out. But if you don't, then the only thing is judgment. But God has blessed us. So we come through it. As He began to speak all the way through the Bible, we see Him speaking through each one of the prophets. Each one of them began to manifest part of the Word. And so as John was the last one, John the Baptist was the last one that came, and you know, as the Brother Bram said that, you know, the prophets built the body. You know, they preached the word that he stepped out on. That, you know, that he began to, this whole time he began to express himself through the prophets and he made himself known so that when John came, John was pointing them back to the scripture to tell them that listen, he said, you've heard all of these things that have been preached. You have heard all the prophets. You've heard what Moses has said all the way from the beginning and you've seen all this being made manifest. But now, the one that has been mentioned, you know, that has been prophesied all this time, he said, now he's here. He said, I don't know where he's at, but I can tell you that he's here. The one, he said, that I'm unworthy to unloose his shoe latches, but I want you to know that he is here to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He said, I can baptize you with water, but he said, there's one that's coming to bring you into a new relationship, to bring you into a new position, because all the things that have been prophesied through the Old Testament now is for here to be fulfilled. And so, you know, after all these people have studied all this and all the Pharisees and all the scribes and all the priests and all the things that they had said all these years and talked about when he stepped out before them, you know, they couldn't believe that this is the one. Why? They didn't even believe John was the one. You know, when Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees that time, he asked them, he said, they want to know how, you know, by what authority do you do these miracles? He said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, was John's baptism, was it a man or was it of God? Yep. And you know, and you know, he said, they were afraid. Now they didn't believe that John was a prophet, but the scripture says that they were afraid because the people believed that John was a prophet. Because they said, well, if it be of man, they were going to be in trouble because the people were going to riot. They were afraid that they were going to have a mess on their hands. But he said, well, they can't say that it's of God because if they told Jesus whether the baptism of John was of God, well, then he would be saying, well, why didn't you follow it? You were required to follow the word of God. And if you say it's of God, well, he said, well, we don't know. Why? Because they knew that they were backed into a corner. But when John began to speak of the word, then he began to speak and then he said, the Spirit of the Lord came to him and told John, he said, the one whom you see the Spirit of God like a dove descend and stay, he said, then you'll know that's the one. And he began to speak and he said, this is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All the way through the scripture, he began to point back to what had been said and here was the manifestation of that word. And then when Jesus began to speak, you know, he began to speak, then he began to point back the whole time. He began to speak of what was said. Why? Because they had walked away from the scripture. He said, so when Jesus came, Jesus didn't bring anything new to tell them. He kept telling them what the law said. He said, look back. He said, search the scriptures. He said, search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. He said, they are they that testify of me. He said, show me where I've disbelieved the word. Show them where I've not fulfilled the word. Right. See, he kept pointing them back to the word to show them, listen, this is the fulfillment of the word. And he began to show them, listen, but you know, they didn't want to believe that. Right. And so, you know, God, You know, and we understand that that was the grace of God that, you know, because if it hadn't been for them being blinded and disallowing and turning aside the Messiah, then, you know, we never would have been able to come in. But, you know, it was the grace of God that He called us and He made a way, because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that they would be old Gentiles that would come in. As in Joseph, you know, we understand that Joseph had a Gentile wife. But we know that all the way through the scripture, the prophets, just as Jesus was rejected, every one of the prophets was rejected. When Jesus began to speak, he said, you garnish the tombs. He said, you polish the tombs of the prophets and the spiritual ones that have come. And he said, which one of them have your fathers not put there? And we're Abraham's seed, if we was in Abraham's day, we'd follow Abraham. And if we were in the days of the prophets, we'd follow the prophets. And he said, but today is the day of the word. And he said, I'm pointing you back to the word. And he said, you don't believe this word. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And he said, the works that he does, you do. And so they pointed them right back to the word, and they did not fulfill the word. They did not believe the word. But you know, that was the time. But there was a group, there was a small group, a remnant that believed what was said. In the midst of all that insanity and chaos, because Brother Ram said, he said it was a golden time when the people believed the word of God. But he said when they rejected the word, he said it was a time of chaos. He said, why was Solomon's temple and Solomon's reign such a glorious time? It's because the people believed what Solomon said. Right. But you can look back at all the other prophets and the different ones, and yet how many of them were sown asunder and murdered and killed and rebuked for what they had said? But then when they come to find out that it was true, then they turned around and said, oh, really? Well, you know, what a wonderful prophet. What a wonderful prophet. You know, and we honor all these people. And yet they had turned down and destroyed everything that they had done. And the same thing with you and I. Because when he began to speak and he began to fulfill himself, manifest himself, and fulfill the word that was written. He began, because, you know, Jesus had a desire, had something that he wanted to make manifest. And all the way, Brother, I said, all the way through the Old Testament, all through the scripture, we see that in types. We see there was a partial word that was being made manifest. But then when he became the fulfillment of that, but then he wanted to fulfill another portion of himself, and which was the bride. There was a bride to be made manifest. And Brother Ram said, you know, he said it was the word of God. It was the word of Christ. It was the body of Christ being made manifest in bride form. So, you know, because when he came, yet he was just like when Adam came. He said, because Adam came and he was the manifestation of God in human flesh. And yet there was another portion. Why? Because he was lonely. There was another portion to be expressed. And when he came to this time, then, you know, when he came on the, in the earth as walking, fulfilling the word, there was another portion that he wanted to make, which was himself in bride form. And so when he came, then, you know, he was crucified that the bride could, you know, the spirit, the life that could leave him, that could go and redeem the ones that he had called, that, so there was a bride that had to be made manifest. And then they began to manifest the word. The word of their day. Yep. Right. And so, you know, here they are, all of these ones, you know, here, as Brother Ram said, you know, they were standing in the temple. After they had seen him preach for 3.5 years and seen the miracles that he had done and all the things that he had done, and they stood there in the temple and they stood there singing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Singing the prophecies that David had wrote in the Psalms, and they were standing there singing those things. And he said, out there on Golgotha was the fulfillment of that word, and they let him hang out there naked and rebuked and despised by the world. And that was the fulfillment of what they were desiring. And you know, how beautiful it was. But you know, that was the grace of God. Why? Because it was grace to us. Because you know, it came that you and I could come in. That he called you and I, and all the way through the scripture, you know, when Paul came and he stood there and he began to speak to the people when they started to get away from the word of God, and he said, you've lost your first love. And he went back and he started pointing them right back to the scripture. And you know, here he is, here's a great learned man, Paul, standing there speaking, and he was pointing them right back to the day. And he was like, look, he said, back there when, in days of Moses, when they had the tabernacle and they had the shewbread and they had the altar, and he began to express each one of those things, and he began to express each one of those things, and he showed Jesus Christ, and he walked with them all the way through the scripture when they were out there in the wilderness, and there he was walking. He was a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, and he was standing in, and it was grace manifested in a prophet that was hidden in a prophet, and he began to speak to him, and Paul began to bring back all the things that from the Old Testament, and he began to bring it present tense and show this is the fulfillment of that word. And see, Jesus Christ has always been on this journey all the way through, manifesting himself to his people. And he began to express each one of these things, and he began to show the same thing that had taken all the way through, and people hadn't seen it. But that was the day that Paul came to show all the things that had taken place in the Old Testament. And we see that, you know, as it goes through the church ages. You know, Jesus said, unless the corn of wheat die and go in the ground, it dies. He said, it abideth alone. And how many people, they were so, you know, they were so, you know, when people, they're so blind. But, you know, they see these things and they wonder why did God allow these things to take place? Why? Because it was the plan of God, because God was manifesting his attributes. As you know, because he allowed the devil to do his work, bring in a little saying, you know, begin to mix the word with man's word, man's ideas, begin to work all the way through. Why? Because it was fulfilling all the way through the scripture. And people say, you know, it came that we see when the red horse rider began to ride and all this murder and everything. And it's like, what a terrible time. But you know, that was the fulfillment of God's word. It began to manifest the attributes of God. And people don't see that. They say, well, that's, you know, how can a God stand there and see these things take place and just be quiet when all these children were being killed? When babies were taken from their mothers, when they were removed from their mothers, unborn, and then here they are being destroyed. And how can that be the will of God for all these things to take place? How can all these things, and we don't understand, but it takes the mind of God to understand these things. It takes the life of God. And the only way that you understand these things is because God reveals them to you. And when he began to reveal these things and he began to express these things, then we understand why these things take place the way that they do. And as they begin to unfold and we see these things all the way through, and you know why? Because that the life had to go down in the ground and it had to die and it had to abide alone, but you know, that's the only way that it was going to come back in multiplied form, is that it had to go in the ground, because the seed had to go into the ground. Because you know, just like all the way through the scripture, you know, just when we see even natural life shows us that it has to go into the ground. So it had to go through those things. And you know, Satan thought he really had something going on where he was able to overcome. He thought he was overtaking the kingdom of God, and he was able to do something. Just like he thought he could destroy Jesus when he went to Calvary and died. You know, he thought he put him in the grave. Hey, you know, he thought he was going to destroy the church. He thought he was going to get somewhere, but he didn't realize that when that life went in there, he was fulfilling the word of God. And as that life laid there, you know, he never could destroy all. He never could destroy the roots of that tree. He never could destroy all of it, but he could do it. He could destroy the effects of it. And so it looked so dark. It was so dark. But you know what? They became light. That there was a day that the light shone, and there was a man who had been looking for something and had searched for something, and the Lord spoke to him and told him, he said, the just shall live by faith. And so when that light began to shine and he began to see, because the glorious light had shone on the Word, that it began to express, and his life became, and it started to grow. You know, through the shoots and the stalk and the tassel and all that, you know, it began to grow back, and he began to express. Each one of those messengers began to bring that Word back. And you know, each one of them had, there was a wonderful expression that took place. But you know what? Each one of those expressions that God ever had, they were rejected. Yeah. Each one of them was rejected. And so, you know, but as all those things took place, yet God had something greater. And had something greater. And you know what? And it came to our day. And you know, there was a lot of things that people had seen all the way down through the history. And they saw all these things that were all, you know, people probed at things and all these things that had been, that Satan had entered, had put in, and, you know, had scrupled things up. And so, how people don't understand, people don't see that there was a need in our day for a prophet. That there had to be somebody to come and take up all these loose ends and all these things that were hidden in the Scripture.
Amen.
Why? Because there had to be one that could come. Like he said, the messenger of this day would he said, came to do two things. He said to point us back to the faith of the fathers, the ones that came and walked with Jesus that he preached to and brought them the Word, to take us right back to that. That same foundation, that same doctrine that they had was what was to be preached in our day.
Right.
You know, everybody thinks that, you know, Acts 2:38 baptism and oneness of the Godhead and all these things, they think, well, this is some kind of new things. No, it's as old as Christianity. The problem is people have gotten so blind and because Satan has sown so much seed that's in there that has polluted everything, that people don't even realize what's truth. But you know, the thing is, it doesn't matter if you're a child of God. It doesn't matter how much the devil comes in, how much forces he brings, how much everything he tries to sow seeds of discrepancy or whatever. It doesn't matter what he does. He cannot take away the light from a child of God. If you're ordained of the light, then guess what? Then the light will shine on you. He will bring you the Word. It doesn't matter where you're at. No matter how far away you get from God, people think that you think you're a million miles away from God. Well, that's what God knows where you are, and God knows where to bring the Word to you, right where you're at. And you know, the thing is if you're a child of God and you're ordained and God predestinated you to this, then you know what? Then you are going to come to it.
Right.
And you know what? But we understand that there's many people in the world that have been foreordained to condemnation. They're not ever going to come to the realization of this. But you know what? God can speak to them and show them and try to speak to them. But you know what? They will always turn the Word down. Why? Because that is their desire that they have made, and you can speak to them, because no matter, you can give them a million years and they'll never accept it. But you know what? A child of God, it doesn't matter, you know, no matter what, how dark the storm is or all the conditions or whatever, when the light shines on them, they will see it.
Amen.
And we see that, so in our day, there was a prophet that had to come. Our day, we had to receive a prophet. You know, a lot of people say, you know, he said, I don't understand why people believe that we have to have a prophet. We were given the Scripture. We have all the Bible. God sent prophets, and he sent scribes, and he sent all the apostles and everything, and he gave us the Word. Here's all the Word right here. So why, we don't need prophets, because we have the Bible. And like I told him, I said, well, the thing is that when you go back, God gave Moses the law, which was the Bible in their day. He fulfilled all that. Everything that they had need of was given to them in the law. But you know what? He still sent them prophets. Why? Because the prophets were sent to send them, look upon them right back to what the law said. And so, you know, why do we have to have a prophet in our day? Why? Because he pointed us right back to what the scripture said. Why? Because you can read and read and read and read. Just like Brother Branham said, it takes more than just reading and study word for word and line by line, but it takes the life of God. It takes a supernatural insight. It takes a supernatural insight from God for you to see the word. It takes more than just our human ability, because we'll never figure it out. We'll never be able to see it. But it takes God, who sent one, who was ordained to show us these things. You know, and people, you know, they spend all their time trying to tear down the prophet, and they try to tear down what God done. Well, you know what? The more things take place, the more I realize that it is the fulfillment of God's word. Yeah. There's never been a prophet that's ever come that brought the word that wasn't rejected. There wasn't one that's never been ridiculed. That's been turned out. And you know what? So if it was the same thing as it was then, if they done that to Jesus, he said, if they done it to the master of the house, what will they say to you? What will they say about you? So they done exactly the same thing to Brother Branham. But he came to bring us the word, to bring us to the place that we need to be, that we can see who we are. But you know what? That he was rejected. Jesus was rejected. And you and I will be rejected. Amen. This Brother Brown said that the world will not have us. The world will be despised and rejected, just like Jesus was. But you know what? He said, we were given the ability. God give us the word. That we were to be the word made manifest in our day. Just as Jesus was made manifest. Why? Because it was prophesied that there would be a bride in the last days. There would be one that would come. And everybody wants to look back, just as Revelation 10 said, you know, there would be a days of the voice that when he began to sound. But who is going to hear the sound? If he was going to begin to speak and to open those mysteries, and somebody had to be there to hear it.
Amen.
And just as John stood there, and you know, the angel was standing there with the open book, and he stood there, and he said, you must eat this book. And he said, no, so go and take it. He said, well, give me the book. And he began to eat. And so John took the book, a type of the bride, ate the book, and he said, then you must prophesy again. So, you know, that's the thing. We must eat the word. We must take the word, and we're going to be rejected. But you know what? We're to eat the word to be manifested. To manifest the word. And he said, through the shed blood, through the operation of all these things that God has done in our day, all the things that take place, the prophecies that has taken place in our day, he's given us the grace. He give us the grace to take this word and make it manifest. Amen. That we can be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and life of his life. That we can be the word expressed. And Brother Branham said in the church age book, he said, you know, a life lived by the word, it will be the word expressed. And so that's the way it is. So in all these things that have taken place, yet in our day we have been the ones that have been come to fulfill this word.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, speaking of it here in the masterpiece, he said, the word living and in action, the Bible bride, not some man-made bride, the Bible bride, smitten and afflicted of God. No beauty we should desire her, but yet we did esteem her smitten and afflicted of God. That's right. She stands alone. She is smitten from all the denominations according to Revelation 3. She is smitten out of the Laodicean church age. She was raised up in it. She was raised up in. See, the church was raised up in the Laodicean church age. That's the husk. But if them other ones went, he said, can't you Pentecostal men see that? If that other was husk and died, then the other, the stalk had to die. If the tassel had to die, so must the husk die. The three stages of organization. He began to talk about, see, it's just the same as Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterian and all those. He said, see, she stands alone like the bridegroom, rejected of man, despised and rejected of the churches. The bride stands that way. What is it? See, it's his masterpiece. See, it's the word that he can work through, make manifest, rejecting. He said, now at the harvest time, the seed is back to its original life, back to the Bible. Malachi 4 said, would be brought that way.
Yeah.
Must have it all, to be this way, it must be all of the Word. And Brother Bram says here in the Ephesian church age, he said, God's intention for His creation, man, was to express His words. In Genesis, Adam was given the Word to live by. A life lived by the Word would be the Word expressed. Is it true or not? But did Adam live by the Word? No. Because he was to live by every word, and he failed to take heed to every word. Then rose Moses and the great men. They all failed to live by every word that the prophet, the great type of the great prophet to come, failed in anger to obey the word. And there was David, the great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. He failed by adultery when he was tempted. But eventually in the fullness of time, there came one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then was Satan fooled. For here there was one who lived by it. It is written. And that masterpiece of God overcame by reflecting God's word. Then was this manifested perfect one given to the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for the perfect sacrifice. And on the tree, he received the wounds unto death, that we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life. And then that life freely given would enable us to overcome and express the word of God. Amen. So let's all stand this evening. And all the things that went through, yet he has enabled us to overcome. How do you overcome? By the word. What he say to overcome is to recognize the devil and all of his tactics. How do you see the devil and all of his tactics? Yo, come on. How do you see the devil in all of his tactics? By the word. The word reveals it to you. To show you all the things that the devil does. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, he said he'll raise up a standard against it. So we understand that all the way through the scripture. You know, as that song, I don't know the, I only think of one line of it. It says, I'll take the way with the Lord, despise few. But you know, I'm going through. I think it's the way of the song. I'm going through. But you know, that's what I was thinking about. You know, I'll take the way with the Lord's despise few. Why? Because each one of them was rejected.
Right.
All of them walked in the way of the Word of God, and they walked in the way of God. And you know what? They were rejected. And you know what? You and I will be the same way. Despised and rejected. But I want to walk just like Jesus. Why? Because if you're the life made manifest, then you know what? All the things that he went through, all the things that he manifested, you will too.
Right.
You'll see, because if he has the life in you, if it's God's life, it's the life of Jesus Christ in you, then you know, people say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. Right. Well, you know what? I tell everybody, I've always told everybody my entire life. Most of you, or some of you have seen my dad, most of you knew my dad. Right. I didn't have to go look in a mirror to try to be Dale Roberts. No. Ever since I was big enough to know anything, I've always had people tell me, you're Dale Roberts' boy. Right. I didn't have to do nothing, but all I had to do was people could see when they saw me, they saw Dale Roberts. They saw Daddy and me, and you know, it wasn't something I had to go stand in the mirror and practice.
Right.
I don't know about y'all, sometimes I get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and I see Daddy in the mirror. I take a double take, it's like, oh. And even now, as I get older, people say, you know, look, he looks so much like Dale, he looks so much like Dale. Well, you know, it was something I had to do. Why? Because it was the life that's in me.
Right.
Why? Because I'm a son of Dale Roberts, so everything that I do, I look like him. I have mannerisms. I sound like him in some ways.
Right. Yeah.
But it was, you know, so if we have the life of God, then you know what? It's not a struggle.
Right, amen.
Lots of times the struggle is we get in the way.
Right.
We get in our own way because you know what? The life is there. If we allow the life of God to manifest it, you know what? Then it's just like Brother Ram said, he said the Christian life is just as easy to live as any other kind of life.
Right.
Why? Because it's easy. If we just yield ourselves to Him, then He can be made manifest. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also?
Yep.
Right. Well, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, you know what? That's what the Bible said you could do.
Right.
You can overcome. Yeah. Why? Because you've already, because He's overcome.
Right.
Because if He's overcome, then you'll overcome.
Right.
Why? Because He's made the way for you.
Amen. Glory.
That's it. And so the same things, so if you have children that are lost, then you know what? He's the Savior. Well, then you know what? You're a child of the Savior. Then you can claim your children.
Right.
You can claim your children.
Right.
You can claim whether or not you have money in the bank account or all your bills paid. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
He didn't stutter on that, and He is not an Indian giver. He didn't make a statement and then just try to back it up. Because He will back it up. He wasn't stuttering, and He didn't get confused on what He said.
Right.
So no matter what the devil brings your way and say, you can't receive the Holy Ghost, then you know what? He's a liar.
Right.
Because if the devil comes and says, you can't overcome, then you know what? He's lying.
Amen.
Right. Right.
You can't get healed. You can't get delivered. You can't get an answer from God. Well, then you know what? Hey, you don't know. Because if He's talking to you, He's lying.
Right.
So if he's speaking, you know what? Then he's a liar, and then we know, well, you know what? God's gonna speak to us,
right.
And you just stay there and you wait and see if God don't speak to you.
Right.
Glory.
Sometimes we get in our own way, and we're just like Daniel. Daniel stood there and was trying to pray to get an answer from God. Well, you know what? It took 3 weeks. When Gabriel came and told him, he said, we fought the prince of the power of the air, you know, prince of Persia. He said, we battled him for 21 days. But Michael came and overcome him. He said, so that I could come and speak to you.
Right.
Well, you know, if that's what he had to do, then you know what? He's still going to come and speak to you.
Right.
Well, you just hold on. No matter how dark it gets, how lonely it gets, how much depression comes in, no matter what it is, you stay right there and God's going to bring you an answer. Why? Because you staying there because God is obligated to His Word. He's not obligated to me. He's not obligated to you, but He is obligated to His Word. And believe me something, brothers and sisters, if we're born of the Word, then the Word that you and I have inside of us, He's obligated to that. He's obligated to His Word. We're the children of the Word, and He's obligated to that Word.
Praise the Lord.
We don't have to back up. We don't have to slack up. We don't have to deal with anybody because we're going to stand on the Word of God. And then he said, we don't know if we have an answer or not. He said, don't you worry. In the day that you need an answer, He'll give you the answer.
Amen.
He said, I'll put the words in your mouth that you need to answer.
Amen.
To close the mouths of the critics.
Exactly right.
See, the thing is, we need to have boldness.
Amen.
Why? Because each one of those prophets had boldness. They didn't. They just walked in what they saw and what God had given them to speak.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, then we don't have to be afraid.
Right.
We don't have to be scared.
Amen.
We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be lonely. We don't have to be discouraged.
Amen.
We don't have to be sad.
Right.
Amen.
Like Brother Matthew always says, he said, I'm too anointed to be disappointed. He said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. He said, I'm too glad to be sad. He said, I'm too high to sigh and cry. Why? Because God has given us a position. Why? Because God had grace to us to bring us, and we've seen the fulfillment of the Word. The Word, because God give us a prophet in our day. And so, you know, I could stand on what He said.
Glory.
And because when Eliezer came, and I'm going to stop here in a minute, I promise. When Eliezer came and began to speak to Rebekah, you know, it wasn't that she was drawn to Eliezer, because the word that Eliezer began to speak to Rebekah, she was longing to see Isaac.
Right.
But you know, he preached it so much.
Right.
He preached that so much to her that when she saw him in the field in the distance, she slid off that camel to go run and meet him because she saw him.
Amen.
A man she had never seen before, but yet she recognized him.
Right.
How will I know him?
Yep.
By the word.
Glory.
What did Fanny Crosby say? She was blind all of her life. She said, but I'll know him.
Yep, right.
She said, I'll know him by the prints, yep, right, the prints of the nails in his hand.
Glory.
Why? Because there was a way, even in her blindness, God was real to her and had made a way that she would know.
Amen.
He's opened our eyes to see. I want to see him more today than I ever have before.
Amen.
I want to see more. I thank God for what he's given us.
Amen.
Let's sing some. I'm gonna stop preaching now.
Near number 94.
Amen. God bless you tonight.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Yes, I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. And such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the that meeting, for the mourners' bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. For there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Yes, I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He will be the leading one at that meeting in the air.
The doubters will
be missing altogether, and all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the Aikens will be busy far away. There the saints will have His seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present
present at that meeting in the air. Yes, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Yes, I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. And such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the end.
Amen. Like the song says, I already like it, and I'm not even there. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. God bless you tonight. We're leaving tomorrow. All right. Brother Bob will be preaching Sunday. Will y'all have a good time?
Amen.
Lord bless y'all. And y'all get something that you want.
Amen.
He's there. Jehovah Jireh. So, y'all just remember tomorrow is Wednesday. Don't get the days confused like I did. I kept thinking today was Wednesday and I was all disappointed. Oh. I look for that Wednesday, you know, that's hump day. Halfway there. So, but anyway, the Lord bless you and, y'all just pray for each one and remember the ones that are sick and all the needs and everything and all the things that we've got coming up.
Alright.
So Brother Wade preached next Tuesday. So Brother Bob's preaching Sunday and you're gonna preach Tuesday. Tag you're it. Sunday after Thanksgiving. All right. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're looking forward to having a good time. This year's been kind of sad. We've not had a lot of fellowship and all the things we get. So we're going to at least have one thing this year. Amen. And Brother Terrence said that they want us to sing, but certain ones of you don't sing. So remember who that was. I don't know. So I assume he hadn't said, but I assume I'm in the singing category. I don't know. Okay. That's fine. I don't mind. I'll be in the other category. I'll be with Brother Tony and Brother Ray. I'll be over. We don't have to sing. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. You know, we've missed all the fall festivals and everything. You know, we've missed all that and I really look forward to all that. So we're gonna enjoy our time together in next month. But God bless each one of you, and the Lord just watch over you on the way home tonight, and let's just all bow our heads, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, for another time to be in your house, Lord, for the word that we've heard tonight. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just quicken it to us tonight, Lord. Let it be real in our lives. Father, as we travel home tonight, Lord Jesus, let us keep our minds on you and the things that we've heard, Lord. And Lord, let us just continue to feed on this, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that to realize who we are, Lord, when the bride recognizes who she is, she'll be an invincible army, and then we can go, Lord. Lord, that's what we're looking for, Lord, when all around us are sinking sand, Lord. Lord, there's a place that we can stand that's a firm foundation. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just watch over each one on the way home. Lord, bless the week. Lord, we just pray that you bless Brother Dale and Brother Wade, Lord, as they travel, Lord. Give them success, Lord, in their hunt. Lord, give them rest. And Lord, just bless their fellowship and everything. And we just pray that you bless Brother Bob, Lord, as he comes to minister, Lord. Lord, just give him to have the words. Lord, just put in his mouth, Lord, what we need to for our lives, Lord, that we can feed our souls, Lord. And Lord, we just continue to bless each one and Lord, Brother Wade, as he comes to minister again, Lord, and Lord, just give him the words, and we just pray that you just bless each one, Lord, for the sick and the afflicted, Lord. We continue to lift them up, and Lord, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight.
Greater is he that is in me.